Speaking up and being clear about your needs and desires and being open to hearing that of the person sitting across from you is the pathway to emotional intimacy and a fulfilling life.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get a million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and I am really excited to share our guest with you today. Her name is Tonya Lester. She's a licensed clinical social worker and the author of Pushback, Live, Love, and Work with Others Without Losing Yourself. She's a Brooklyn-based psychotherapist and writer known for her work with relationships and communication. Her essay, Couples Therapist, Heal Thyself, was published in the Modern Love column in the New York Times, and she has been writing the popular Staying Sane Inside Insanity blog for Psychology Today since 2020. She's been featured as an expert in The Guardian, Newsweek, Well Plus Good, HuffPost, Fatherly, and the Bumble site, The Buzz. There's so much more I could say, but I'm just really excited to start talking to her. Tonya Lester, welcome. It is great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, there's a lot of things I want to ask you, but what I love to find out from people is kind of their superhero origin story, to jump in their kind of time machine and find out what put them on the path they're on today, making such important changes in the world. So let's jump in your DeLorean and let's hit it to 88 and go back in time and talk to us, Tonya, about how your journey began.
Well, I was an actress and was very, very interested in keying into the emotional world of characters. And I think that translated directly towards realizing that the only thing I am interested in is people's inner story and the quality of people's relationships. And so I thought, well, I'll become a therapist because that deals with that most directly.
And that's not usually what actors and actresses do. So briefly, were you a stage actress, commercials, TV, movies? What kind of actress were you?
I was a failed actress, sadly. So people won't be able to look up my IMDb and see a million credits. But I did mainly stage and, you know, small independent films, that type of thing. A little bit of commercials, but not too much.
But still, like you were able to find that thread, that thing that kept you interested, and your little light bulb goes off over your head and you say that you want to be a therapist. And so there's a lot of therapists, and I don't usually have most therapists on my show just because therapy in and of itself, while it's an art, it's very personal. It's kind of a one-on-one thing, but you've been blogging, you know, for Psychology Today since 2020. You started that during the pandemic, right? Staying Sane and Inside Insanity. And I'm curious, before we really push into the book, because you've been doing that for half of a decade, and the world doesn't seem any less insane than it did in 2020. I think it's actually a little more insane. So what are kind of the overarching themes and the things that you advise people to do? Hey guys, Dr. Richard here. For the past 7 years, I've been privileged to bring you incredible guests who are changing the world and can help you become the best version of yourself. I'm really excited to share with you a new quiz that I created based on my clinical training that will curate for you a custom list of my top episodes and actionable strategies to help you wherever you are on your journey. All you need to do is go to drrichardschuster.com to take it, and it's 100% free. You'll be taking the next step on the journey to unlocking the power of you, and I can't wait to see where you'll go. So so that they can remain grounded and centered in a world that feels chaotic and unpredictable?
That's a great question. I really encourage people to try and center themselves around their relationships and what they can control as opposed to what is out of control. So certainly I don't advocate people sticking their head in the ground and not paying attention to what's happening around them. But I do believe that we feel the most grounded, empowered, and connected when we're able to focus on investing in our relationships and kind of creating a safe bubble around ourselves, our families, our communities, and loved ones. While, of course, I advocate getting out there and helping the people who need to be helped. But when we start being overwhelmed and too hopeless based on what's going on in the world, I think we have to come back to the connections we have and the sort of daily practices that ground us in our moments, our lives, as opposed to getting too wrapped up into the vortex of the world at large.
I love that you're keeping relationships centered in that as an anchoring point for those who, as you mentioned, I love vortex. It's a great analogy for it because it's so easy with the algorithms of social media that you start watching a couple reels or TikToks, and all of a sudden, everything that is being shoved in your face is going to freak you out if that's the kind of content you're watching. And so it's nice that we can turn off those electronics and be grounded and be centered and connect with the people who mean the most to us. And so I want now to jump into your book because I'm so excited about this book, Push Back, Live, Love, and Work with Others Without Losing Yourself. So the first question I want to ask you, because you're obviously very well known in this space, why this book? Antonia, why now?
I was having the experience in my therapy office where I was having couples come in, kind of one after another, where the female partner was often unhappy and kind of expressing a need to change, perhaps asking to go to therapy, definitely wanting to talk, wanting to connect more, not happy about this or that. But she was sharing that in kind of a mild, low-key way. The husband was sort of putting her off. We're okay. We just need a date night. I don't want to go to therapy. And they were sort of operating that way for a long time, where he maybe had his head in the sand a little bit and she wasn't expressing quite how much she was struggling in the relationship. And then she announced she was going to leave kind of abruptly. Well, it felt abrupt to him. It didn't feel abrupt to her at all. And then he is very upset and really shocked, really blindsided by this. And then they come into my office, and it's clear that his energy to change this now is very, very high, but hers is low, right? Hers was high for a long time, and now it's really dropped down. And in many of these cases, I thought they'd come in a little earlier. We could have done really good work and kept them from getting to this point, and that there are some communication skills that could have been leaned into and kind of a more willingness on her part to have some conflict and more willingness on his part to really sit with what she's upset about in a non-defensive way. And that now, and not in all cases, but in some cases, really missed the window where there was a relationship that actually had a lot of potential, a lot of love that was really, really on the rocks. And so in writing Pushback, it's like, how do we put that kind of pressure on the system sooner before someone's ready to walk out the door? How do we encourage these hard conversations, these emotional conversations, these risky conversations before the relationship is at a breaking point? So I think this is a very long-standing issue. I don't think that it's new, but I was just seeing it over and over and over in my practice and felt like maybe I had something to offer in terms of strategies to avoid the end, basically.
And I love this because this applies not only to our personal relationships, but our work relationships as well. And I recall as you were talking to me about the kind of the too little, too late scenario where, the female partner doesn't have the energy anymore, but she used to. It's somebody once told me in the corporate world, if you have to fire an employee and they don't know what's coming, you have failed
That's right.
as a manager, right? So I see a lot of parallels there. So let's start diving into the contents of the book. So if somebody picks this up, talk to us about some of the foundational things that a reader's going to get.
What I want people to walk away from reading this book with are knowing what you want. So being very grounded in your values. If we can't ask for what we want, if we're not sure ourselves, and sometimes not really knowing is sort of a defense mechanism to keep us from having to go for what we want and maybe make hard decisions, have hard conversations. And then the skills around sharing what we want in a direct, concise, kind, but clear way. And one thing I find often is people feeling like either I say nothing or I throw a hand grenade into my relationship, right? I think sometimes we can really catastrophize what it's going to be like to share a hard thing. Whereas I really encourage people to say, we can be clear, we can be concise, we can leave no room for doubt without being attacking or mean. So know what you want, be able to ask for it in a clear way, be able to listen non-defensively, and have something that I call in the book mutual empathy, right? Can I hold empathy for myself during this hard conversation and my partner during this hard conversation? And then finally, when is it simply in an incompatible situation? And incompatibility can come up in all relationships, as you said, also a work relationship. Sometimes we are incompatible with our work environment. And so then how do we decide whether to stay, whether to leave, and what our next steps are?
So you said something interesting to me, Tonya, and mutual empathy was intriguing, but then this listening, this kind of non-judgmental listening, and the research is pretty clear that we, particularly in the West, have shifted in our ability to hear other people's points of view. This first really became prominent in the 2016 election cycle, where people were unfriending people because of their political ideology. This has intensified in steroids since that time. And so we as a society are very polarized. And what has started happening is kind of across the board, and this has spilled out of political ideology just to, hey, we think a certain way. And if you don't think the way I think, I don't have room for you in my space. So you're talking about things which intuitively make a lot of sense to me, but I'm wondering, based on kind of some of these shifts we've seen in society, how do we put that into practice, even for ourselves? Because many of us, like our own selves, like we've been gaslit by our social medias into believing certain things, right? Because confirmation bias is real, and we've programmed ourselves sometimes unknowingly to think about certain things. So I want to spend a couple moments there, Tonya, talking about how, based on your experience working with so many people, you move past that.
There's a couple things. One is to step out of that rigid, certain, my way or the highway, I am all right and you are all wrong stance, into a more flexible, curious way of looking at things. And, you know, hopefully we don't think our partner or our boss or our coworker or our sister, hopefully we don't think they are an idiot. And maybe there's times when we're so fired up we do. But if we can take a more humble, flexible stance of, there must be something here I'm missing. Can you help me understand? I care about your perspective. Not because I think it's important I agree with you about every little thing, but it's that I want to know you and I want to see if we can make some kind of connection and some kind of common ground. So what that requires is slowing down a conversation, allowing the first wave of anger or defensiveness or disdain pass us. Don't speak from a part of disdain and wait until you can get into a place of genuine curiosity. Tell me what I'm missing. Help me understand. I trust that you're a thoughtful, good person. And so there must be something I'm missing about this. So can we keep talking about this? Can we have the conversation continue? Which really means emotional maturity is to say, I need to get a drink of water or take a couple minutes. Let's come back to this. Take a deep breath. Don't rush. Don't dive into these hard conversations. Don't have that thing of speaking without any control where it's coming out of your mouth before you have a chance to say it in a direct, a kind, still direct, but kind way. So I really, really, a lot of it is saying, this relationship is more important to me than this moment. And can I come into a place of curiosity and empathy? And then I'm about 1,000 times more likely to get curiosity and empathy from them if I'm able to do that.
I do want to talk more about mutual empathy, but you just said something that kind of ties into this line in the sand part, right? This identified incompatibility to where it's just not going to work. So given what we've been talking about, for most people, and I know that everybody's got a different line, of course, right? But so how do we judge whether or not it's salvageable, whether it's a professional or a personal relationship?
I like to differentiate between grappling issues and deal breakers. A grappling issue is something that might be upsetting, but we can deal with it, and it's worth it to us to stay in the workplace, the relationship, even if we have to kind of always manage this. So easy example is you have small children at home, you have a job that doesn't tick every box in terms of fulfillment, but it offers you tons of flexibility, which matters a lot at the time of your life with parenting or whatnot. With, you know, my personal grappling issues, my husband and I wanted to live in two different places, and we grappled for like 20 years, but neither of us were going to leave the relationship, even though this was a big problem that we both cared a lot about. Deal breakers are, if this doesn't change, I can't be happy in the relationship. And for most people, dishonesty, abusive language in the workplace, it might be constant disrespect or a simple, you know, it could be very good people, but there's no room for growth. So it's what is rooted in your values of, if this doesn't change ever, can I be content in this situation? And I think that can be very hard to answer. And often it's not a quick answer, but that's what we should be thinking of. If it never changes, is that okay with me?
So now taking a step back, you talked about having empathy for yourself and having empathy for the other person. If you're in a deal breaker situation and it's looking like there's no way out, how do you, you know, what's your strategy for still holding that empathy both for yourself and for the other individual?
I almost think that's when it's easier to hold empathy, when you're actually at the end. I think it can be harder to hold empathy when you're actually trying to find a solution that will overcome a fundamental incompatibility. And so then, of course, you would say, I'm devastated. I wish this was different too, but I think we need to, in a relationship, find other partners who meet this need, or in a workplace, release each other to the next big best thing. I don't feel like we're doing people any favors by staying in a situation we're not happy with. I think actually our ambivalence will start to kind of torture the other person. I think it's awful to have someone who isn't all in with you if you're all in with them. You don't get your best work from an employee who's has kind of one foot on a brake and one foot on the gas when you're really trying to move forward. So I think we also need to get rid of the idea that we're doing someone a big favor by ignoring our own needs in order to meet their needs. I think usually that comes out either in passive aggression or in kind of a stasis or in a feeling of ambivalence towards them, which I think is very harmful over time.
And having done this work at a very high level, I'm curious, what are some of the things that you encountered that are surprising pitfalls for people that maybe aren't so intuitive?
Well, I think often people stay silent in order to save the relationship because we elevate harmony to this very important state. And it's harmony for its own sake is a trap. The more we care about just keeping things smooth, the more we will silence ourselves and maybe silence our partner, and the less we will be known, right? So speaking up and risking healthy conflict and saying what needs to be said is how we create a foundation of emotional intimacy. So I think a real trap is avoiding hard conversations. You know, I think everybody dreads hard conversations. That doesn't make you unique, you know, to have a really hard time speaking up. But there's ways we can enter into those conversations that hopefully create safety for both parties. And the only way to be close is to be known and to speak up.
And so listening to this, I'm thinking also there's going to be a flip side to that, right? So what are the things that if people aren't doing are really good ideas to start doing right away?
you know, have the hard conversations, even if you have a time each week. This is what couples therapy is so great for, but you don't have to have a therapist to do this, where we're going to bring everything to the light, have all the hard conversations, and also, you know, balance that with appreciation and what is going right, and giving time both to enjoy each other and to have hard conversations. I do think in a job situation or in a relationship, we also want to be aware if we're over fixating on the negative and not kind of highlighting, not balancing that negative and positive space. But really, my work is about bringing openness and vulnerability to relationships. So that is 100% what I think is the most important thing.
And I want to get a little clarity too. And I love this conversation, Tanya. You know, the book title is intriguing, Push Back, you know, Live, Love, Work with Others Without Losing Yourself. So that could mean a lot of different things. What does losing yourself mean to you within the context of this book?
Staying silent and suppressing your own needs and desires so much and so long that you wake up and barely know who you are and feel that you aren't known by the people around you, that you're not seen, and that you're kind of a reflection and projection of other people's needs and desires. And I think a key way that we know this has happened to us is we feel very, very lonely, right? It's very lonely and alienating to feel like nobody kind of sees the real us, or nobody in a workspace, it would be more nobody understands the value we bring or really knows what we can do and is interested in kind of developing us. So it's that loneliness that I think is something that we can flag for ourselves, that we've really lost ourselves.
And a lot of literature suggests that when we feel that way, we need to start helping ourselves so that we can help the relationship. And I know you said, you know, have the hard conversations, speak up, don't be silent. But if somebody's listening to this, Tanya, and they're like, my God, that's me. I'm lonely. I'm not fulfilled in my job. I've been in a relationship for 15 years and it's going nowhere and I don't feel fulfilled. What are some of the things you can do internally to start, you know, chipping away at those feelings of loneliness?
I'm a huge advocate of writing things down. I think the act of getting things down on paper, it helps us think. It helps us kind of really understand where we're at. I think that there's exercises. I have many exercises and journal prompts in the book. But I think to say, you know, what's the next step I could make? If I identify my values and I do 0 to 10, at what extent am I living these values? For the ones that are very low, what is the next indicated step? What is a small step I could take to move myself in the direction of having that value more alive in my life? And then also, hopefully, you don't feel lonely in every part of your relationship or all your relationships. Or hopefully, if work is terrible, there's some things in your personal life that are going well. And so then it's also lean on those situations. Lean on, if you feel a ton of mastery at your job, it's great to get confidence and feelings of esteem and connection while you're working on the parts of your life that aren't going so well. But really, you know, we can change and take action through insight, but we can also gather insight through action. So taking the small steps and moving forward is really, we can't think ourselves to a new life, right? We have to act to a new life.
Well, I love that you stated it that way, because there are so many people that, especially now, that they feel that they're suffering because of whoever's an elected official that they don't like, or their job is an issue, or the economy. But you're providing a framework, and I like that it's tied back to values, because I think values are really the outward expression of who we are, or at least who we aspire to be. And so you're giving people a framework to chip away at those things, because, you know, once this little crystal, not crystal ball, but this little light bulb goes off over our head and we recognize that there are things we just can't change, right?
Right.
You can't change the weather any more than I can change the stock market, right? But when we identify what we can change and what's in our sphere of influence, it really makes things easier for us to be able to say, oh, okay, well, I don't have to feel so alone. I don't have to feel disrespected in my job. So I like that you have a framework, and that it's through a series of journaling prompts is even cooler because journaling is very accessible, right? Like you don't have to hire an expensive coach to work through that. You know, it's not a lot of time. Say, hey, I can start my day 20 minutes earlier and I can look at one of Tonya's journaling prompts and start healing. So exceptional. Thank you for doing that. Tonya, I've loved our conversation. I think this book is exciting, and I know that people are going to really value or get a lot of value from it. But I want to ask you this one question. It's a question I ask everybody every episode. What is your biggest helping? That one most important piece of information you'd like somebody to walk away with after hearing our chat today?
Speaking up and being clear about your needs and desires and being open to hearing that of the person sitting across from you is the pathway to emotional intimacy and a fulfilling life.
Well said. I love that. The book is called Push Back, Live, Love, and Work with Others Without Losing Yourself. That book is available everywhere, and we will have a link to it in the show notes. But Tonya, if people want to learn more about you or connect with you, where can they find you online?
People can reach me at tonyalester.com. I'm also on Instagram, Tonya Lester Psychotherapy. And finally, I have my blog over at Psychology Today, a staying sane inside insanity.
Perfect. And for those of you at the gym, we got you covered. Everything Tonya Lester will be linked in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Well, Tonya, I have loved our conversation. This book's so important, especially now with the world being as crazy as it is. So thank you for being you and thank you for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And to each and every one of you who took time out of your day to listen to this conversation, thank you as well. If you learned something, if you're inspired, if you're going to go pick up this book and start journaling and finding your own way to live, love, and work without losing yourself, go give us a follow and a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice because this is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post it in your feeds using the hashtag MyDailyHelping because the happiest people are those that help others.